We're holding on Volvo Umut Bays, 9 lines from the bottom. We might have talked yesterday about the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says how, right before Matan Torah, Moshe sent, and by Yishlach as Nare B'nai Yisrael, Moshe had sent the young Jewish man, which means the Bechorin, because this is before the Chet Egel, the Bechorin was still the Chorinim, and they brought korbanos on behalf of the Jewish people. So the Pasuk mentions that they brought Oilos and Shlomim. So we discussed yesterday, the Shlomim, it's clear, are Shalmei Chagiga, and with that they were Makayim, what Moshe had told Paro, Shalach Asami V'yachoyguli Bamidbar, send out my people from Mitzrayim so they can make a Chagiga for me in the desert. So that was the Shlomim that they brought. And we had a Machloikas, B'Shamai, B'Shilo, and we said B'Shamai also has Rabbi Eliezer, and we thought possibly Rabbi Shmuel, but we said maybe not on their side. Anyway, and Basil has a couple that has Rabbi Akiva and a couple of other Tanoim on their side. That was a machlokes. What were these oilus? Were they oilus re'iya? Because after in honor of the fact that they saw Hashem's presence at Matan Torah, and therefore so according to Beis Shammai, that's what they were, and therefore they say that we can learn from that for future generations. We can learn that a Shlomim, a Shalmei Chagiga, does not have an advantage over an Oilas Re'iya, and therefore we said they hold the Oilas Re'iya has to cost more. Or Beis Hillel said that no, it wasn't an Oilas Re'iya at all. It was an Oila of the Korban Tamid, which they started bringing then and then continued to bring throughout the 40 years in the desert. So in this connection, the Gemara asks, Boyer of Chista, Hai Kro Hefi Ksiv. Now let's look at that pasuk and understand how to parse it. The pasuk says, Vayishlach es Nare B'nei Yisrael, that Moshe sent the young Jewish men, the Bechorim, now the whole pasuk goes like this, Vayishlach es Nare B'nei Yisrael, Vayalu Oilus, and they brought Oilus, Vayizbechu Zvochim Shlomim LaShem, and they brought Korbanas Shlomim to Hashem, Parim, bulls. So the question is, does the word parim go on both things, that both the oilus and the shlomim were bulls, or does it go only on the shlomim and the oilus were something else? We said that if the oilus were the korban tamid, then the korban tamid is not a bull, the korban tamid is a sheep. So how do we read the pasuk, says Rav Chista? Vayishlach es Nare B'nei Yisrael vayalu oilus, he sent the young Jewish men, and they brought oilus. And we stop there. There's an asnachta there in the pasuk, and we say therefore the implication is that what they brought for the oilus is kvasim, is sheep. And then the pasuk continues by yizbuchu zvachim shlomim lashem parim. Then it continues they brought korbanas shlomim to Hashem the korban chagiga bulls, and therefore that would mean that the two korbanas were different kinds of animals, one being sheep, one being bulls. Or maybe the word parim goes on both of them, and even the oilus were parim. Now, Tosfos points out, if we say like with Shammai that it was an oilus re'iya, then for sure it could be either possibility. An oilus re'iya can be any kind of animal that you can bring for an oila, namely cow, sheep, or goat, and we'll talk about soon whether the oilus re'iya can be a bird or not. Here it wasn't because it was a carbon sibra, fine, but it could be any kind, it could be any of the three kinds of domestic animals that can be brought as a carbon. If you say it was the oilus tamid, like this Hillel and Rabbi Akiva and so forth say, well then, I mean, on the face of it, you would say it has to be a sheep, because that's what the korban tamid is. On the other hand, we said that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, holds, like this Hillel and like Rabbi Akiva, that it was an oilas tamid, but he holds, like Rabbi Shmuel, that the details of the korbanos were given only later, meaning, in other words, that you could have details about how the korbanos are to be brought that originally were done one way and then afterwards were done a different way. In this case, we said Rabbi Yisrael really could say, for example, that the dinim that you have to skin the korban and cut it up a certain way only applied after Hashem gave those mitzvahs in the oil moir at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra. So by the same token, you could say that the din, that the korban tamid has to be a sheep, only came along later when the first time Hashem tells Moshe about the korban tamid is in Parshas Tetzaveh. So at that point then it had to be a sheep, but before that it could be some other kind of animal such as a bull. So how do we read the pasuk? So the Gemara says, "L'may nakamina." Well, what's the practical distinction? I mean, either way, as Tosfos says, this is something that happened in the past. This is not something that's going to happen again in the future, that such korbanos are going to be brought, because Matan Torah is a one-time thing in history. So what's the nafkamina? How we understand the pasuk? So the Gemara says, Mazutra amal pisuk timing. Mazutra says, a nafkamina is to know how to divide up the pasuk with Torah. Namely, Rashi says, if the word porim goes only on the shlomim in the second half of the pasuk and not the oilus in the first half of the pasuk, then there's an asnachta on the word oilus, which is in fact how we have it in our chumashim. So vayalu oilus has an asnachta, period, stop. They brought oilus of some kind of unspecified animal, and then vayizbuchu zvachim shlomim lashem porim, and then they brought porim as a korban as a korban shlomim, as a korban chagiga. So that would be one way. On the other hand, if you say that the word porim goes on both of them, then you have to divide up the pasuk differently. So Rashi says you need shar taimim sha'in mafsikin, then you need on the word oilus, one of the other truck that doesn't separate to go in pashto or revia, for example, a pashto or revi. Now Rashi doesn't mean by that, of course, that a pashto or revi don't separate at all. They are separating truck, but they're weaker separating truck. When they talk about the truff and the different degrees of separation, esnachta and seif pasuk are the strongest dividers, and the other ones are lower. The other ones are lower level ones. Pashta and Ravi are lower level ones. They malachim and mishnim and so forth. They call them relative to esnachta, which is called a keser. So therefore, if the pasuk means that the parim goes on both of them, then you would have that the vayalu oilus has the word oilus would have a pashta or Ravi or something like that on it. Showing, therefore, that the word parim at the end of the pasuk applies to it as well. So that would be the nafkamina. Tosfos points out, by the way, there is something the Gemara discusses elsewhere about something called hey mikrois she'ein lehen hechra, that you have five psukim where you have, the Gemara mentions, that you have a word in them that could conceivably belong to the first half of the pasuk or the second half. For example, one of them is the word Mishukodim that it mentions in connection with the menorah. Uva menorah abar gvim. It says the menorah had the central stem of the menorah had four cup-shaped decorations on it. Mishukodim, decorated with almond shapes. Kaftireho frachaha. It's knobs and it's flowers. And the Gemara discusses, does that mean that the almond-shaped decorations were only on the gvim, or were they also on the kaftorim and prachim? So here, Tosfos says it's not the same thing because it's one or the other. But over here, the word parim could refer to both. It could refer to one, it could refer only to the shlamim, or it could refer to the oilus as well. Marshar discusses that further, in each of those psukim, after all, we do ultimately have the truck. And the Turab help determine which part the word goes to. In fact, the Ritva says, when we say, hey, Mikroes, Shanlan, Hefra, means without the Turab, we would have no way of knowing. Once we have the Turab, then we know. Marshal discusses that further and says that, over there, even though, so given that without the Turab, we don't know, even once we have the Turab, there's no other way that it could have been written that would tell us for sure whether the word belongs to the first half or the second half of the pasuk. Either here, one way or the other, we're going to know, depending on how the chirp goes, we're going to know whether it belongs to the whole pasuk or only to half the pasuk. Anyway, so the Gemara says that's one nafkamina, that's what Marzutra says, that's one nafkamina of this question. Rav Acha b'Rav Rava says there's another nafkamina. Lo Omer, suppose a person makes a neder, harei olai oila ka'oila she'ikrihu Yisrael b'midbar. Suppose a person says, I make a neder that I'm obligating myself to bring an oila like the oila that the Jewish people brought in the desert. So now the question is going to become, does he bring a sheep or does he bring a bull? So that's the question. Parim havu or kvasim havu? Were those oilas parim or kvasim? Okay, ultimately the answer is, according to either explanation, teku, we're not sure. We can't be sure whether it was kvasim or whether it was parim. The Ramban on the pasuk over there says that goes according to the opinion that all of them were parim, which seems to not fit with the Torah as we have them. And he explains that since they were in the midbar, that he explains that parim represent midas adin, and since they were in the desert, which is a dangerous place, they felt they needed a korban like to appease midas adin, and therefore they brought korban. He says that's actually the same mistake that eventually brought them to make the eagle as well. That's why an eagle more than any other creature, because the eagle was associated with midas adin, and they felt in the desert they need that. Okay, new discussion. Tanan Hossam, we start with the Mishnah and Peah, which we say every morning in davening. Eilu dvarim she'en lahem shir. The following mitzvahs do not have a shir, meaning that midaraisa, there's no minimum and no maximum amount for them. Ha'peah, a peah, that you have to leave a corner of your field for the poor people. Minatoda. Now, many of these things were saying that there's no shir minatoda, but there is a shir for them dirabanan. So peah, midaraisi, you could leave one stalk of grain, let's say, and that would be enough. Midarabanan, you have to leave at least 1/60. But there's no, so the midaraisi, there's no minimum. There's also Tosfos discusses over here that there's no maximum either. Unlike, for example, some other mitzvahs, for example, truma, where there is midaraisa, a maximum as well. A person can't make all of his crop truma if he wanted to, because you need shiorea mikorin, you need that you gave truma, but there has to be something recognizable left that's not truma. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah is not listing something like that. Whereas peah, if you wanted to make your whole field peah, Tosfos actually brings from the Yerushalmi, depending on what stage of the harvest we're talking about. But there is a stage where you could conceivably make your whole field peah if you wanted, and vice versa, you can make only midaraisa, only one stalk, and your yotze. So that's the first one. Vabikurim, same thing. Bikurim midaraisa, there's no shear. Midrabanan, again, the Rambam says 1/60. Vaharoyin and reoyin, which is, that's what we're going to have to discuss over here, what reoyin means. We know it means something to do with re'iyah, which is the subject of our masechta, which is why we're bringing it in. But we're going to discuss now, what does that mean that the reoyin has no shear? Ugmilus chasadim. Ugmilus chasadim has no shear. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi on Peah, that says, we're talking about Gmilus chasadim begufay. Gmilas chasadim b'mamoina, the amount of gmilas chasadim that you give with your money, there is a shiur because the Chacham said you should give no more than chomesh, no more than 1/5. Although with that said, the Rebbe points out in several places in Tanya that that's only when you're giving tzedakah without a particular cause, but if you're giving it because of tshuva, for example, you would have had to fast for certain averus and instead you're giving tzedakah, then you can give as much as you want, the same way as you could on physical healing, the same way on ruchni sticker healing. Anyway, but gmilas chasadim begufay, there's no minimum and no maximum amount. The Talmud Torah, and the last one is Talmud Torah, where also midaraisa, there's no minimum, the minimum shiur. Even the Gemara tells us in Menachos is even that a person is kriyishma in the morning and in the evening, that he's yoy to the minimum degree of Talmud Torah, and of course there's no maximum because a person could be Torah Asayim Nasay, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi. Now, there are other mitzvahs that a person could do more. For example, a faris soita, let's say, for example. So you have to take dust and put it into the drink that the kohen is going to give the soita to drink. You can put in a tiny amount of dust. You can put in one grain of dust, or you can put in a huge amount. Why doesn't the Mishnah mention that and several other examples? And the answer is because we're listing in this Mishnah only things that when you do more, then you're doing the mitzvah in a better way. For example, peah. You are yotze to the minimum daraisa by doing one stalk, but it would be better to give a lot more to the anyim. And the same way with bikurim, and the same thing with all the other things. As opposed to, let's say, with a faris soita and efer para, and the other ones, there's no advantage. You're not gaining anything by doing more. If you put in more grains of dust than just the one, you haven't done the mitzvah in a more mahududik way. So therefore, that's why the mission is not listed. Okay, so now let's focus on Re'oyim. Amar Rav Yechanan, Kisvurin Anu Loimar, we would think to say, when it says that Re'oyim has no shear, Ein Lo Shear Lamaila, Avo Yesh Le Shear Lamata, it would seem, you would think, that it means that Ra'oyan, there's no maximum shiur. In other words, you can, as the Gemara is going to say soon about, because remember, Ra'oyan has two parts, which we're going to talk about. There's coming to the Beis Hamikdash and appearing there, and there's bringing the korban. So you would think, says Rabbi Yechonon, there's no maximum amount. You can bring as many korbanas as you want. You can come to the Beis Hamikdash during Yom Tov as many times as you want. Avo yesh le shiur lamata. You would think the Mishnah means there is a minimum amount, Daraisa. Which maybe Tosfos points out, the Yerushalmi there says that there is a minimum shiur daraisa for peya as well. But no, ad shabar Rav Oshia b'Rebbe the limit, until Rav Oshia b'Rebbe came and taught. B'Rebbe, Rashi explains, does not mean the son of Rebbe. It means the great person of his generation. So the Gemara sometimes will use that. The Gemara sometimes will use the word Berebi as a title appended to the names of some Chachamim to mean that they were particularly great. So Rav Oshia came along and taught. No, it means Hara'oyan, Ein lo shiur lo lamayla v'lo lamata. Means Daraisa, at least, there's no minimum and no maximum amount for Ra'oyan. Aba Chachamim Omrin. But the Chachamim have told us, as we said in the Mishnah, Hara'iyah Mar Kesef, Vachagiga Shtei Kesef, that according to this Hillel, and of course the Halacha is like them, that the oilas re'iya has to be worth a minimum of a ma, and the chagiga and the korban chagiga has to be worth a minimum of two ma. But midaraisa, that wouldn't have been necessary. Midaraisa, you could get away with any amount. So my horoyin. Now, what do we mean by the word horoyin? So Rashi explains, in other words, why does it say the word ro'oyin rather than re'iya? If it said the word re'iya, then it would mean that we're talking about, that then it would be clear that we're talking about the oilas re'iya. But since it says the word ra'oyan, then maybe does that mean that we're talking about the actual appearance in the Beis Hamikdash? And we're saying that there's no minimum and no maximum shiur for that. The Me'iri learns it a little differently. He says the word ra'oyan implies that we're talking about the whole Yom Tov, as opposed to if it just said re'iya, would imply maybe only the first day. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Re'iyas Panim Ba'azara. Rabbi Yochanan says that the word Ra'oyan of that Mishnah means the appearance in the Azara. There's no minimum and no maximum amount for that. In other words, that the minimum is you have to appear in the Azara at least one time during the Yom Tov. Once you did that, you can come there as many more times as you want during the Yom Tov, but you are fulfilling the mitzvah in a better way as you do that each time. It is more of a hiddur mitzvah, like Tosfos brought before from the Yerushalmi. But in terms of your mitzvah, that's it. You've accomplished it with one time. But Rish Lakish Amar Re'iyas Panim B'Korban. Rish Lakish says we're talking about the korban. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can come to the Azara as many times as you want during the Yom Tov. You're not required to bring a korban each time. Once you brought a korban the one time that you came, then you were yotze. You don't have to come. You don't have to bring korbanos the rest of the times you come. Whereas Rish Lakish is saying re'iyas panim b'korban, that the two things go together. Every time you appear in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to bring a korban. So the Mishnah is telling us v'hara oyin, you can do that as many times as you want, but you should know that each time you come, you're going to have to bring a korban, says Rish Lakish. So the Gemara says, the ikar of regel, when it comes to the main part of the regel, which Rashi says the Yom Tov Rishon, and the Rambam says means the first time that Yom Tov, that you come to the Azara, so then kula amalek, you did it, yes, ponim b'korban. Everybody agrees that coming to the Beis Hamikdash automatically implies that you have to bring a korban. Keep pligi b'shau yamos regel. The machlokas is, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, is about the rest of the Yom Tov. Now, furthermore, kol hecha de osav aisi, if a person comes during the rest of Yom Tov and he brings a korban, kol amalei pligi de mekablinim minei, then they both agree that, of course, we'll accept it from him and we'll bring it. You're coming with a korban, of course. Ki pligi de osav aisi. The machloikas will be what happens during the rest of Yom Tov if he came and did not bring a korban. Rabbi Yochanan holds that when we say Bahara Oyin, that there's no minimum and no maximum shiur, means the actual appearance in the Azara. So therefore, the kol aimas to osi, like tzarech la'asuyit, you don't have to bring a korban the rest of the times you come, as long as you brought one the first time, then you yotze. Tosfos points out, by the way, that's during the rest of the Yom Tov. It might be that Rabbi Yochanan might say, on the first day of Yom Tov, you can't be bringing korbanos over and over again, because you would be over on Baal Tosif, maybe. You're doing you're doing the mitzvah multiple times, and maybe you can't do that. But on the rest of the days of Yom Tov, sure, you want to bring a korban, you go right ahead. But Rabbi Yochanan will say you're not required to. Rish Lakish Omer Yes Ponim B'Korban. Rish Lakish says during the rest of Yom Tov, Bora Oyen means that you have to appear in the Azorah with a korban, meaning the Kol Emas Da'osi Tzarech La'asuyi. So whenever you come to the Beis Hamikdash, you have to bring a korban. You have to bring a korban with you. Okay. So Eisvei Rish Lakish L'Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, so far, in other words, we're saying Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the first time you come, you have to bring a korban. You want to come the rest of the Yom Tov, and Tosfos says maybe you can't bring more korbanos on the first day because Baal Tosif, but the rest of Yom Tov, it's up to you. You can come, and you can come with or without a korban, and either way you're good. Rish Lakish is saying on the first day you bring a korban, and every other time that you're coming throughout Yom Tov or throughout Chol HaMoed, you need to bring a korban. So Eisvei Rish Lakish L'Rabbi Yochanan, so Rish Lakish said, Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean that you were able to come to the Azara without a korban? The pasuk says, "V'lo yiro fonai reikam." The pasuk says, "My face should not be seen empty-handed." So you can't come to the Beis Hamikdash empty-handed without a korban. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers, "In beikur aregel." That's talking about only on the ikur of Yom Tov, the first day of Yom Tov, according to Rashi, the first time you come to the Azara that Yom Tov, according to the Rambam. That's when the pasuk means "V'lo yiro fonai reikam." Once you came there and you brought a korban, then from then on, the rest of the times that you come is not considered reikam. So Rish Lakish asks him again, Eisvei, a braisa says, V'lo yiro fonai reikam, when the pasuk says my face should not be seen empty-handed, that means b'zvachim, that means specifically that you have to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, and zvachim particularly refers to animal korbanos where you shech them with a knife. The shurdish zavach means to shech. So therefore it means as opposed to oifus, as opposed to bird korbanos, where instead, as we know, a korban oif, you do melika instead. So the braisa says that you have to bring dafka zvachim, you have to bring dafka an animal which is going to be shechted. And the braisa continues, after oimer b'zvachim, now you're saying that you have to dafka bring an animal korban, oi eina ela ba'oifus imanachas, maybe you can be yotzev lo yiro fonei reikam by bringing a bird korban or by bringing a mincha. So Gemara says, so the braisa continues, no, v'dinhu, we can demonstrate with a mamatzinu, with a binyan ab, that it's not so. Nemra chagigla hedyet, v'nemra iyo l'gavoya. We have two korbanas that you have to bring on Yom Tov. One is a chagiga, which is for the hedyet, because it's a korban shlomim, and people eat it. The koyanim eat part of it, and the owners eat part of it. V'nemra re'iyo l'gavoya. Then you also have the oilas re'iyo, which is brought completely to Hashem and burnt on a mezeach. Therefore, we have a comparison between them. Ma chagiga hamur lahediyat zvachim. The korban chagiga, which is for the hediyat, of necessity is zvachim, and it has to be because there's no such thing as a shlomim from a bird or from a mincha. Af re'iyah hamur lagavoya shlomim. So the same way the re'iyah, which goes completely to Hashem, also has to be zvachim, also has to be animal korbanos. Umahin zvachim. Now, what do you have to bring as a zevach? What do you have to bring as a korban then? Oilus. So you're saying that the korban for the re'iyah has to be an oila. So far we've established that the korban has to be an oila. So now after oima oila, so you ain't have a shlamim. Maybe not. We started with the assumption that the re'iyah is an oila. Maybe not. Maybe the re'iyah is also a shlamim. Nope. Can't be. A v'dinhu, again, we can show logically that it's not. Nemre chagiga lahedyet v'nemre re'iyah lagavaya. It says you bring a korban chagiga, which you are enjoying. Rashi points out, by the way, that we know that the, okay, well, one second, we'll see in a second. Rashi points out a different way how we know that the Chagiga is Zvachim. Not because Shlomim can't be a bird, because we haven't yet established that it is in fact a Shlomim, but rather because the Pasuk says, Lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker, you're not allowed to leave the fat of the Chagiga unburnt on the Mizbeach until the next day. So that implies we have to be talking about a korban where the fat is brought on the Mizbeach. Therefore, that has to refer to an animal, because birds, there's no fat that's brought on the Mizbeach. When it comes to a korban ola, the whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. And when it comes to a brood chatas, only the blood goes on the Mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the Kohenim, fat and all. So therefore, necessarily, the chagiga has to be a shlomim. So how do we know that the oilas re'iyah has to be an oilas? After oma oilas, ayena el shlomim, maybe the korban for the re'iyah is also a shlomim. So the answer is no, v'dinhu. No, we can demonstrate that not. Nemra chagiga lahed, yet again we say a chagiga which is eaten by people. And we know that because it says because it's a korban that's eaten. So then you have an olas re'iyah, which goes to Hashem. Therefore, ma chagiga hamur lahediyot v'roi loy. Therefore, just as the chagiga that goes for the hediyot is something that's suitable for him to eat, namely, it has to be a shlomim, which you will be able to eat, because if it was an olah, you wouldn't be able to eat it, and if it was a chakas or an osham, not all the hediyotis would be able to eat it, only the kohenim. Therefore, the re'iyah that goes to Hashem must be something that's suitable for Hashem, meaning that's brought exclusively to Hashem, namely an oila. V'chein b'din. And it's, after all, it's only right that way. It shouldn't be that your table is full with meat of a korban and the table of Hashem, the Beis Mikdash, is empty. So the Mizbeach is empty. So therefore, it's only fair that if you're bringing a chagiga and you're eating most of the meat yourself, that also the other korban you should be bringing as an ola, and the whole thing is going to be burnt on the mizbeach, and that way the mizbeach is also full. So we see from that, in other words, that the pasuk is making a point of mentioning that the mizbeach, you can't allow the mizbeach to stay empty. So therefore, on the face of it, that means that every time you visit the Azara, every time you visit the Beis Hamikdash, you have to bring a korban. Because after all, throughout the Yom Tov, you're going to be bringing korbanos for yourself. So it sounds like the Braisa is saying, so every time throughout Yom Tov, you also have to be bringing an Olas Riyah. Amalei, and again, Rabbi Yechanan answers him, no, the Ikra Regel, the Braisa is focusing on the Ikra Regel and saying, therefore, at least one time, at least the first time you come, you have to bring an Olas Riyah. But if you didn't, you have to. In fact, the Rambam says, by the way, that the two mitzvahs are interdependent. You have to bring an Olas Riyah. And if you do, you're Makayim a mitzvah saseh. If you didn't, you actually over on a mitzvah slois saseh, that it says, v'lo yiro fonai reikam. However, the two of them are interdependent. You can't be Makayim the eser without being Makayim, without bringing the korban. And if you didn't bring the korban, then you're not Makayim the eser, and you're over on a lois saseh. However, the Rambam says, you don't get malchus for it, that's a lav shein me maisa. Anyway, so on the ikur regel, the first time you come, yeah, you have to bring a korban, otherwise you're not yotze the mitzvah of aliyah the regel, but of re'iyas ponim ba'azara, of appearing in the azara. But the rest of the yom tov, Rabbi Yechanan says, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. You can come without a korban and you haven't done anything wrong. By the way, though, now the braisa that we just quoted is clearly saying that the oila that you bring has to be an animal. However, the Rambam learns not like that. The Rambam paskins that you can bring a bird as well. And the noisy kelim on the Rambam explains that the mechilta, which is where this braisa is taken from, has a different gusa that says that birds are fine, and maybe even, I think, I don't remember if it says menochas are fine. All it says is what you can't do is you can't just come to the Azara with money and then buy a korban over there. So the Rambam explains, there's a different Gemara in Bechoris that says that you can't bring shava kesef. When you're coming to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel, you cannot bring with you shava kesef and say, you know what, I'm going to bring something that I'll sell this thing in Yerushalayim and use the money to buy a korban. That you can't do, because that would be because the Chachamim made Gzeira, because what if you don't find somebody to buy your item? So you have to come to Yerushalayim with either an animal or money to buy an animal or a bird, and then you can buy it in Yerushalayim and you can bring the korban. But you can't come to the Azara. According to that, the braisa that we just quoted over here would be saying you can't come to the Harabayis itself with money and then say, I'm going to buy an animal there. You have to buy the animal, the latest you can buy it, is someplace in Yerushalayim before you start going up to the Beis Hamikdash. So anyway, so again, Rish Lakish had brought this braisa to show it sounds like every time you come to the Azara, you have to bring a korban, you have to bring a korban oila in order that the mizbeach should not be empty. And Rabbi Yechanan is saying, no, that's only talking about ikir adegel, it's not talking about during the rest of Yom Tov. Eisvei, so Rav Shlokish says to Rabbi Yechanan, and I have another contradiction against you. A braisa says, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there's three times a year, three Yom Tovim, where the Jewish people have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, on those three Yom Tovim, they cannot be seen by halves, and we're going to start talking about at the bottom of the Omud what that means. It sounds like half can't be seen, but what does that mean? We'll see later. So you can't do that, because it says all your males, so everybody has to come. The ein nirin rekonim, and you can't appear over there empty-handed, because it says that my face should not be seen empty-handed. So that sounds like it means much more clearly that every time you come, you can't be empty-handed. You have to bring a korban. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan is saying that only the first time you come do you have to bring a korban. And again, omalei the ikur haregel, again, Rabbi Yechanan says that it means only the first time during Yom Tov do you have to bring a korban, but the rest of the time is not. Now, the Turei Evan gives an explanation over here on the face of it, what is the Braisa adding over the pasuk itself says v'lo yiro fanei reikam. So what exactly is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda adding to that? So he explains that this is where the Rambam gets this source for what we just said, that coming to the Azara and bringing the korban are interdependent, and you're not mekayim the mitzvah saseh if you didn't bring a korban, you're in fact over on the lo saseh. So just coming to the Beis Mikdash by itself, the first time, without a korban, you're not accomplishing the mitzvah saseh. That's what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda wants to stress, and that's why Rish Lakish was saying that would apply throughout the Yom Tov, and Rabbi Yechanan is telling him that no, it only applies the first time. So now, Esvei Rabbi Yechanan with Rish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yechanan turns the tables on Rish Lakish and says, I have a contradiction to your opinion. The pasuk says Yeroa kol zechorcha, that all of you should be seen in the Azara. And we know, as we've learned a few times already in the Masechta, the word is also read as if it said Yireh, that Hashem will see you. So that means, besides that we said before, so we learned before that means, for example, that you have to be seeing Hashem in the same way as he's seeing you, and therefore just as he sees you with two eyes, so you have to see him with two eyes, which is where we said that if a person is blind in one eye, he's butter. And we had the idea that we said the other day at the beginning of the whole portion of Agadta that Reb Huna had said, it shows how eager Hashem was to see us. And have us see him in the Mishnah, etc. But Rabbi Yechanan is saying, here's another thing the Braisa is saying, we learn from those words. Ma ani b'chinam. Just like I come to the Mishnah for free, I don't have to bring something with me to the Mishnah. Afatem b'chinam. The same way, you can come to the Mishnah with nothing, and you're still Yotze. Now, Rabbi Yochanan himself would say that therefore that means during the rest of Yom Tov. Because again, only on the first day are we saying that, only on the first day or the first time you come that Yom Tov, are we saying you have to bring a korban, and if not, then you're over on the law, you're over on a reikam. But the Braisa is clearly saying that you could come other times and not bring a korban, and you're still yotze, the mitzvah of Yeroa calls a korcha. Because then you're just like Hashem, who's not bringing something with him. Whereas you, Rish Lakish, are saying that every time you come, you have to bring a korban. So it doesn't fit. So the Gemara says, Ella, so rather, we have to fix up what the machloikas Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish was. Kol heicha de'osav le'aisi, if a person comes throughout the rest of Yom Tov to the Beis Mikdash, and he doesn't bring a korban, then there's no argument, everybody would agree that he can come in, he can appear in the Beis Mikdash, bring his korban, and go out. Rather, we can say now the machlokes would be if. So now we don't need to say anymore. So now both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish can understand the various brises that we quoted up until this point as meaning the psukim and the brises that we quoted as being the ikur harego, as being only the first time during the Yom Tov that you come, do you have to bring a korban? Even Rish Lakish now was saying on the second lashon would agree to that. So the machlokas is the osava icy. What if during the rest of the Yom Tov a person came and brought a korban with him? Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Re'ias Panim Ba'azara. So Rabbi Yochanan, who says the word Re'oyan in the Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lam Shir, he says that the word Re'oyan means Re'ias Panim Ba'azara, means appearing in the Azara. So that has no maximum Shir. Meaning Re'ias Panim Hu De'en Mashir. Meaning there's no maximum for Re'ias Panim. You can come to the Beis HaMikdash as many times during the Yom Tov as you want. Call a korban, yesh lo shir. But the implication is the korban would have a shir. There's a maximum that you can bring. You don't bring korbanos every time you come. And we might not even accept them. So in the first lashon, we took it as a given that if you come every time with a korban, sure, we're going to accept it. Because after all, you bring a korban. What do we have a problem with it? But now in the second lashon, Rabbi Yechon is saying that no, when it says vahara oyen, means the korban itself you can't bring more than once. You can only bring one olas re'iyah. And then after that, we're not going to accept it from you because, as Tosfos says, maybe that would already be a problem of Baal Tosif. So, but Rish Lakish Omer, Re'ias Panim B'Korban, whereas Rish Lakish says that it means coming with a korban, meaning Da'afilo Korban Nami Ein Lo Shir, meaning that even the korban has no shir as many times as you come to the Beis Mikdash. Now, you're not obligated to bring one. However, if you bring one every time, then the Kohenim will accept it from you and offer it. It's interesting, by the way, you have the notes over here to Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah on Rish Lakish's opinion. Now, usually, when we have Machlokes Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, usually the halacha is like Rav Yechon. But so over here, on the other hand, here, the Rambam paskins like Rav Yechon, but, so the, what it is the Rambam is paskining like the first version of Rav Yechon. Namely, that in the opinion that we said that Rabbi Yochanan has in the first version is pretty similar to what Rish Lakish is saying in the second version. Rabbi Yochanan in the first version was saying that you don't have to bring a korban every time you come to the Beis Mikdash, just the first time. But if you bring a korban every time after that, then Gezunt Dehei, we're going to accept it. And Rish Lakish says that every time you have to come with a korban. In the second version, Rish Lakish is taking the view of Rabbi Yochanan in the first version. He's saying that you want to bring a korban, go ahead. You don't want to bring, don't. You're not obligated to bring every time. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan is saying you can't bring more than one. So the Rambam is passing like Rabbi Yochanan in the first lashon. And Mefoshim explained that the reason for that would be. Look, I mean, after all, the only reason why we went away from the first version is only because of the question on Rish Lakish. Fine. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, he could have stuck to the first version and everything would go very smoothly according to that. So therefore, so the Rambam figures if the only reason for the second lashon is in order to defend Rish Lakish, then we don't really need that. Okay. So, Eisvei, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan pointed out a contradiction to Rish Lakish. You're telling me that you can come as many times as you want and bring korbanos as many times as you want, but you have a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Hoikar raglacha mibeis re'echa, keep your feet away from your friend's house, and your friend over here means Hashem. So in other words, don't be coming and bringing korbanos to Hashem too often. So in Pashut of Pshat, the pasuk is saying, don't visit your friend too often, because after a while, he's going to get tired of you. So in the same way, the Pasuk is really a mashal. So it's saying, don't keep coming to the Beis Mikdash with korbanos. Hashem doesn't need them. So on the face of it, that means you can't bring as many korbanos as you want. There's a limit. The answer is, Hos b'chatoriz v'ashamos. Rish Lakish answers, that refers to Shloim HaMelech is telling you, don't come to the Beis Mikdash a lot with chatoriz and ashamos. Now let's be careful not to do averus and end up having to bring a chatos or an ashamos. Kidder Rab Levi, and therefore that would be like what Rab Levi says. Did Rab Levi Rami? Rab Levi pointed out a contradiction in the Pesukim. Here we have a pasuk that says, withdraw your feet from your friend's house. In other words, don't be coming to the Beis Mikdash too often with karbanas. On the other hand, you have a pasuk where David HaMelech says, I will come to your house with oilas, implying that it's good to bring oilas as much as possible. And that's the answer. Like Kasha, kan b'chatzoros v'hashamos, kan b'oilas v'shlamim. Depends what kind of karbanas we're talking about. Chatoris v'ashamos, it's not a good thing to bring. That's what Shlomo is telling you. Oilus and Shlomim, by all means, bring as many as you want. Tanya Namihochim, you learn similarly in the Braisa, when it says, Hoika Raglachom Beis Re'echa, v'chatoris v'ashamos akosim v'dabir, the pasuk is talking about a korban chatas and a korban asham. After Omer v'chatoris v'ashamos, so you're saying it means chatas and asham, that Hashem doesn't want you to be bringing them too many times, because try to avoid Avedis in the first place. Oy eina ela uba oilus shlomim. Maybe it means Hashem doesn't even want you to bring so many oilus and shlomim. No, sho omer over base chaba oilus, ashalam machonadore. The pasuk says, the whole pasuk in Tillin goes, I will come to your house with oilus. I will pay off my nadorim to you. Hare oilus shlomim omer. And that includes oilus shlomim. So what does the pasuk mean? Don't come too often to the Beis Mikdash for karbanos. B'chatoris v'hashamos akos v'dabir. Necessarily, the pasuk is talking about chatoris and hashamos. Okay, so that's that then. So that pasuk and that braisa is no contradiction to Rish Lakish. You can bring the karbanos, and according to Rabbi, or on Rabbi Yechanan in the first version, you can bring as many karbanos. You can bring as many of those types of karbanos as you want. The Mishnah, the Braisa had said the Ein Nirin Chatzorin Chola. The Braisa had said you cannot be seen in the Beis Mikdash by halves. So what does that mean? Sover of Yosef Lamema. Rabbi Yosef thought that what the Braisa means is Man de Isra Yasora Bonim. Suppose a person has 10 sons. Loi Leiskuha Idna Chamisha Olamacha Chamisha. So you can't have 5 of them come to the Beis Mikdash today and the other half tomorrow. It has to be that all of them come on one day because Kol Zechurka. However, Omale Abaya, but Abaya says, Pshita, well, obviously, you don't need a pasuk to tell you that. After all, what are you going to say? Some of them are going to be poshim, are going to be careless, and they're only going to show up, they're only going to show up in the Beis Mikdash tomorrow, and some of them are going to be zrizim and hurry up and come to the Beis Mikdash as early as possible. Of course not. Zrizim makdim in the mitzvahs. So you don't need a pasuk to tell you that you can't do that. Ela krala mayasa. Rather, says Abaya, what does the pasuk come for? L'chida achirim. It comes to teach us what the achirim say. The Tanya, we learned a braisa, we learned this a few days ago. Achirim onim hamakamet, a person who collects dog excrement, which we said Rashi over there said on Dapdalad that it means they use it for tanning high quality leather. And in a different Gemara and Ksuba, Rashi says they used it for soaking clothes before washing them. Anyway, such a person is smelly and dirty. Bamitzaref nechoshes, and somebody who mines and refines copper at the mine, which also makes them very smelly. Bab Bursi, Anna Tanner, Pturin Minariya, all those people say Acherim are potter from Ri'ya. So that's what it means. That Ein Nirin Lachatsoyin, you have to have who's chayev in Ri'ya, only those who can come all together. Because these people are smelly and dirty, nobody's going to want to go with them necessarily. They're going to have to make a group of their own. Therefore, the pasuk is implying that they are potter from Aliyah the Regal, because they only come lachatzoyin. They only come as a group by themselves rather than together with the rest of the Jewish people. Rashi brings an explanation that what Abaya is saying is that no, the pasuk is not coming to tell you that lachatzoyin. Rather, the pasuk is only coming to tell you what achirim say. But Rashi says no, that you still have to explain what ein nirin lachatzoyin means. And anyway, that's not how the Gemara works. When it says ela krala mayasa, it means don't think the pasuk means what you're saying. It means something else. So therefore, Rashi sticks with his explanation that it means that achirim are learning from the word, when it says in the Braisa the Ein Nirin Lachatzoyin, it means what Achayim say, that these people who are smelly and dirty are not chayev in Aliyah L'Regel. Shenema, because the pasuk is Kol Zechurcha, all your males, implying Mish Yochel Lalas and Kol Zechurcha, so the chiyuv is only on those who can come together with all the other males, Yotzu Eilu Shein Yochel Lalas and Kol Zechurcha, as opposed to these people who are not going to be able to do that. Now, we talked about back on Daf Dalet, the Rambam Paskin, nevertheless, that these people are chayiv. So we said, the Mahari Kurka says what it means is as long as they're smelly, then they're takapotter, but they have an obligation, the Rambam says, to clean themselves up and maybe spray on some deodorant or whatever, and then go. And the Rambam would learn, apparently, that since Achirim say this, the implication is that the Chachamim disagree with them. Okay. So that's what it means, Ein Nir Machatzarim. Okay. The Mishnah says, Oilus Bamoyed Boris Menacholin. On Chalamoyed, Oilus come from Cholin. Now we're going to ask in the Gemara, what does that mean? And on Yom Tov, you would be, so what does that mean? On Yom Tov, you would be allowed to bring your Oila from Meiser, from Meiser Sheni money. So we'll see in the Gemara what this means. Vashlomim in a Meiser, the Shlomim that you bring can be from Meiser Sheni money. You know, you bring your Meiser Sheni money to Yerushalayim, you spend it on food, and then you eat the food in Yerushalayim with the dinim of Meiser Sheni. So the Mishnah is telling us that the Shlomim that you're bringing can be from Meiser. We're going to talk about in the Gemara, which Shlomim are we talking about? Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, what happens on the first day of Pesach? So then you have Machlokes, Beshama Emim Menacholin, or Beshulam Emim Menameiser. Beshamai says that your korban can be from Cholin, Beshulam says from Meiser. Again, we're going to have to discuss in the Gemara, what do we mean? What korban are we talking about that you're bringing Davka on the first day of Pesach, where you have this Machlokes? Okay, the Mishnah continued. Yisro Yotzi Nidei Chevasan. Now, when it comes to, we have one of the mitzvahs that you have during Yom Tov is Simcha, which we've talked about before, that you have to eat. You have to eat meat of a korban in Yerushalayim and be the simcha. So Yisroel can be yotze that, the nedorim and adavus. They can be yotze with nedorim and adavus, namely the korbanos that they promised to bring at other times during the year. And now when they're oilo l'regel, they bring them to Yerushalayim. They bring them to the Beis Hamikdash. So they can be yotze with that. Or Maisa Behema, they can also be Yotza with Maisa Behema. Maisa Behema is not a Shlomim, but nevertheless, it's a Korban that they're allowed to eat, so they can be Yotza Simcha with that. The Koyanim Bachatoris Vashomers, the Koyanim can be Yotza by eating Chakas and Osham. Now, of course, the Koyanim can also be Yotza with Nadorim and Adavis and Maisa Behema, but there's no Chiddush in that. The point is, they can also be Yotza with the chatoris and ashamas that Yisraelim bring. So a person brings a chatos and an asham. The koyanim eat most of the meat. So the koyanim can be yotze, the mitzvah of simcha, with that meat. They don't have to bring a korban particularly for that purpose. They don't have to bring a shlomim specifically for that purpose. Over b'chor, the koyanim can also be yotze with a b'chor, same idea. Over b'chor of a shoik, and with the b'chor of a shoik of shlomim that they are given. Avaloi ba'ofis, v'loi b'menachas, they cannot be yotze, the mitzvah of simcha, with korbanos of birds or with menachas, because the Gemara, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, why not? Because you don't have simcha with eating those kinds of things. Simcha is dafka by eating besar behema, animal meat. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. So what do we say? The Mishnah began by saying, Oilus b'moyed boris menacholin, that the oilus, meaning apparently the oilus re'iyah, on chalamoyed have to come from cholin money. So what does that imply? Ela oilus b'moyed hu de boris menacholin, does that imply that only if you're bringing them on chalamoyed do they have to be from cholin money? Ha b'yomtev min ha-meiser? But does that imply that if you're bringing the oila on yomtev, then you're allowed to bring it from meiser sheni money? How could that be? Am I? Dover shebechoy v'hi? How could you do that? After all, the oila you're required to bring, we just established before that you're required to bring an oila suya, whenever you have something that you're obligated to bring, you have to bring it some cholin. So when you have, for example, a person, let's say, has maaser sheni money, and he wants to bring a voluntary shlomim with that, he goes, hey, fine, it's voluntary, he wasn't chayev in that shlomim, so fine, let him bring a shlomim from the maaser sheni money. But in fact, there's a takana of the chachamim that if you're buying an animal, you should do that rather than using it for cholin meat. But if you're required to bring an oila, you can't use meiser sheni money, which doesn't really belong to you, and use it to be yotza or choiva of yours. In fact, Tosfos points out there's another consideration as well. Meiser sheni money can only be spent on food. And an oila is not food. The whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So that's first of all, v'chitema ha'kamash malon do'olus v'moyed boris v'yomtev enin boris. So you're going to say, okay, maybe the Mishnah doesn't mean that. Maybe the Mishnah is mainly focusing on the point of that you're only allowed to bring those olus on chalamoyed and on yomtev not. In other words, the Mishnah is telling us olus have to be brought davka b'moyed. They have to be brought davka on chalamoyed, not on yomtev. And by the way, also boris min acholin, in addition, you should know that the ola has to come from cholin money. So does that mean the Mishnah is implying that you don't bring the oila on Yom Tov? Well, command kibitz shamai. So who would be that? Would you have a Stam Mishnah like this? Shammai? The Tanan. We're going to learn in the next parak. We learned also in Masech the Beita and in Megillah. But Shammai, I'm going to be in Shlomim, Vein, Simcha, Leyen, Avaloy, Oilus. But Shammai says, on Yom Tov, you can bring Shlomim. However, you can't do Smicha on them. But you can't bring Oilus on Yom Tov at all, only Chalamoyed. So you... The Shammai holds to bring Shlomim on Yom Tov, sure, because it's Malachas Elkom Nefesh, because you're going to eat the meat, but not Oilus, which is going to be burnt completely on the Mizbeach. And even the Shlomim, you can't do Smicha on, because we're going to talk about in the second paragraph, we're going to talk about that point, about not doing the Smicha, but they hold that it's a Gzeira Dirabbanan, you're not allowed to Mishtamash Balechayim, you're not allowed to use animals on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. And that would include leaning, because you lean on them b'chol koichei with your full strength. So the Shammai is saying that you can't do smicha on Yom Tov. We're going to talk about that. So we're going to talk about that in the next parak, Bez Hashem. So the Shammai, in other words, is arguing on Vesilol says you can bring shlomim and oilus on Yom Tov. And you can do smicha on them, which means, in other words, there's a double machlokas. Number one, Bishamai is saying you can't bring an oila on Yom Tov, and the Sibyl says you could. And number two, Bishamai is saying that if you're bringing even a shlomim on Yom Tov, you can't do smicha on it. And the Sibyl is saying you can, whatever korban you bring on Yom Tov, you can do smicha on. So the point is, if Arm Mishnah was implying that you can bring the oila only on Chalamoyed, then that would be according to Bishamai. And we know Bishamai bim koim Vesilol ain't a Mishnah, so it can't be. So the Gemara says, you're right. Chsuri Mechsura, the Mishnah is missing some words, but Hachi Katani, what the Mishnah is saying is like this. Oilus nedorim unedavis v'moyed boris v'yom tovenis einim boris. When you bring a korban oila as a neder unedava, that you can only bring on chalamoyed, that you cannot bring on yom tov. Even Beis Hillel agrees to that. The only korbanos that you can bring on Yom Tov, they say, are the korbanos that you're required to bring, namely in this case the Oilas Ru'iyah and the Shamei Chagiga, but not other Nedarim and Nedavos that you pledged throughout the year. In fact, we learned in the Masechta Beitza a while back that we brought a braisa over there that says if a person shechts such a korban on Yom Tov, he would get malchus. So Beis Shammai would hold he gets malchus. Basilo would say, Tosva says, he doesn't get Malkus, but still Basilo would agree that it is Osir. Anyway, so that's what the Mishnah is saying. So now it does work according to Basilo. You can't bring Nedarim and Nedavos on Yom Tov, only on Chalamoyed. But Oilas Re'iyah bar Philip Yom Tov. However, the Oilas Re'iyah could come even on Yom Tov, because Basilo, that's how Basilo holds. And further, then the Mishnah is telling us another din. When you bring that Oilas Re'iyah, ain't a bar element of chulin, then you can only bring it from chulin money. Because, again, anything that you're required to bring, you have to bring from chulin money, and here you're required to bring the oilas ria. On the other hand, when the Mishnah continues, v'ashlomim min ha-maiser, it means v'shalmei simcha boin ach min ha-maiser. It means the shlomim that you're bringing for the mitzvah of shalmei simcha, that can even be from maiser sheni money. Because, in other words, so you have, there's a chiyuv to bring a chagiga. That is like any other chiyuv, and you have to bring it from your own money, from cholin. But then you have, there's also the mitzvah of shalmei simcha. And since, as the Mishnah continues, you can be yotze shalmei simcha, you don't even have to bring a korban of your own for shalmei simcha. You can be yotze with a korban that somebody else brought, where you're eating some of the meat of it. So therefore, it's not an obligation on you. Therefore, you can take maaser sheni money and use it for your shalmei simcha. And then when the Mishnah continues, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, it means the Chagigas Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. It means the Chagiga that you bring on the first day Pesach, which is your regular Korban Chagiga. Beshama, I mean, Menachulin, Beshulam, Menachmeiser. So there you have an argument. Where Bishamai says that you can bring it from Chulin money, and Beshulam says that you can bring it from Meiser Sheni money. So first of all, at this point, we're going to have two questions. Why, number one, why are we saying the first day of Pesach as opposed to the rest of Pesach? And number two, how can Bishamol say that you can bring your chagiga from Meiser Sheni money? So we'll take up one of those points now, and the other one we're going to continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem. So that's what the Mishnah means. So the Mishnah is telling us the following dinim. Number one, the oila Sve'iyah could be brought on Yom Tov. Number two, that if it's Nedarim and Nedavos, it cannot be brought on Yom Tov. Number three, either way, The Oilas Ru'iyah can only be from Chulin, and Dorim and Adavis, we said, could be from Maisa Sheni, if you could take your Maisa Sheni money and use it to buy an Dorim and Adavis, fine, but, the Oilas Ru'iyah has to be from Chulin money. And then the fourth din the Mishnah is telling us is that your Shalme Chagiga can be even from Maisa Sheni money. And then you have the Machlokas about the Chagiga, whether that can be from Maisa Sheni money, or whether like this Hillel, or whether it has to adapt to be from Cholin like this Shammai. So Tanya Nami Hochi, the Gemara says, we learn similarly in a Braisa that spells out what the Mishnah was saying. Oilus Nedorim and Adavis B'moyed Boris B'yomtav and Boris. Exactly that. Oilus that on Nedorim and Adavis can only come on Chalamoyed, not on Yomtav. And he said even this Hillel agreed to that. The Oilas Ru'iyah, on the other hand, as this Hillel says, could be brought even on Yomtiv. Uch Shehi Bar, and when you bring it, Ein Bar Elamin Acholin, then you have to bring it from Cholin, because the Choiva, and Choivas always have to be brought from Cholin. The Shalmei Simcha Boin Achmin Amaiser, on the other hand, your Shalmei Simcha, which is not really such an obligation on you, because you just have a mitzvah of eating meat, not of bringing a korban, so that can be even from Maiser Sheni money. The Chagigas, Yom Tov, Rishon Shel Pesach, then when it comes to the Chagiga that you bring on the first day Pesach, Beshama Emin Achol and Beshil Emin Amaisa. So Beshama says that one, which is your Chagiga for the Yom Tov, has to be from Cholin, and Beshil says it can be from Maisa, which the Gemara is going to explain, and we'll talk about tomorrow, that it means that you can blend together some Maisa Sheni money and some Cholin money and bring it. We'll deal with that point tomorrow, but first, let's ask, Maishna Chagigas Yom Tov, Rishon Shel Pesach, why are we focusing specifically on the Chagiga of the first day Pesach? What about the rest of Yom Tov? And what about the other Yom Tovim? So the answer is, Amar Rav Ashi, Ha Kamash Malan. You're right. The Mishnah and the Braisa, when they're mentioning the first day of Pesach, they don't mean as opposed to the rest of Pesach, or as opposed to the other Yom Tovim. They mean as opposed to the Chagiga that you bring on the 14th of Nisan. Back in Masechet Pesachim, we learned that many times when you bring the Korban Pesach, you would bring it together with a Korban Chagiga. So that's called Chagigas Arba, sir, because you bring it on the 14th of Nisan. The purpose of it is not to be Yotze, the mitzvah of Chagiga, because for that you need a Korban that you brought on Yom Tov itself. The purpose of that is that the Pesach should be eaten a la Soiva, that you're eating the Korban Pesach, and not that you're eating it because you're hungry, but you're eating it in order to fill up. You fill up mostly on the meat of the Korban Shlamim, of the Korban Chagiga, and then you eat the Korban Pesach at the end. We have in our Sedarim nowadays, we have the Zroya and the Beitza represent those two things. The Zroya for the Korban Pesach representing the Korban Pesach, and the Beitza representing the Chagiga. And we also have that this is why we eat the Afikoman at the end of the meal, to represent the Pesach that they eat a la Sova, where the meal itself would include the Korban Shlomim. So therefore, the Mishnah and the Braisa are telling us, when it comes to the Chagiga, Bar Oser, then that's different. That you can bring, even according to Bishama, you can bring from Maisa Sheni money, because it's not really a chiyuv on you. You only do it in order to have Pesach Nechal Ala Soiva, and in fact, as it says in Pesachim, there are times you don't even bring it. For example, if the Korban Pesach was brought on Shabbos, then you don't bring it. If the Korban Pesach is being brought with Tumah, then you don't bring the Chagiga, and so forth. So the question is, so that's what the Gemara says, Maishna Chagiga is Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. Why we say Dafka the Chagiga of the first day Pesach? And Omer Rav Ashi, Hokam Mash Malon, because that's what the point is, not the first day Pesach as opposed to the rest of Pesach, or as opposed to the other Yom Tovim, but rather as opposed to Erev Pesach. Hokam Mash Malon, the Mishnah and the Braisa want us to know, Chagiga is Chab Mishnah also Ein, only when it comes to the Chagiga of the 15th. The regular Korban Chagiga. Do you have the Machalikas Beshama Vesivu? Chagigas Abba also Loi. But when it comes to the Chagiga that you bring on Erev Pesach to eat the Korban Pesach ala Soba, that you could bring from Maiser. Alma Kasava, which shows, therefore, that the Braisa, that the Mishnah and the Braisa hold that Chagigas Abba also Lab Daraisa, that Chagiga is not Daraisa. Which there is an opinion in the Gemara and Pesachim over there that says that maybe even it is Daraisa, and therefore you would in fact bring it even if Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, but the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying not like that, and Halacha is not like that. That Korban Chagiga is only Dirabbanan in order to eat the Korban Pesach ala Sova, and therefore you don't bring it on Shabbos, because an optional Korban is not a Nedarim and Adavos, which is what this is in effect, are not Doicha Shabbos. Similarly, if not Doicha Tumah. Similarly, also, if you have only a few people registered for your Korban Pesach, each one is going to have a lot of meat, you don't have to bring this Chagiga either. So therefore, it's a Mishnah by saying Chagiga is Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, and the Braisa is saying that the Shana would say the regular Korban Chagiga that you bring on Yom Tov has to be from Cholin, because the Choyv on you, and the Sewell is saying you can use Meiser, as we're going to talk about tomorrow, about Teufel, about mixing together some Cholin money and some Meiser Sheni money, but the Chagiga Sabah Oster, given that it's not even an obligation on you in the first place, then you can buy it completely with Meiser Sheni money. Okay. And we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem, with this business about Teufel, and continue from there.
Yes, Shikaya. Have a one.